Yes, this is Eagle FM on this good morning of, on this very beautiful morning of Thursday morning, the 24th of July, and the year is 2025. So thank you, La. Thank you, guys. Thank you, HT, and David, for the morning, for the early morning scoop. And, so welcome. So if you're just joining us, if you're just joining us now, this is Eagle FM and you are tuned in Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli and this is your daily dose of what is really going on issues, on business, on what is going on in business, in economic and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. So our time, it's about 39 minutes past the hour of 7. And if you're just joining us, welcome. And so hopefully, and wherever you find yourself, stay connected with Eagle FM. So stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere. And if you're in a place where you may not be able to listen to us on radio, and if you are this kind of person, a God person, so now what you can do, you can actually just download Eagle FM mobile app, and you can do that by, you know, downloading it from Google Play and also play from Play Stores. And you're ready and you are good to go. Make sure also you could be in the office. You could also listen to us through your website. So, and also then, your, Eagle FM app. Do that. So yeah. And please do follow us, do follow Eagle FM and the Villager on our different social media platforms. You can listen to, you can follow us on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on WhatsApp channels. So do that. Please do engage with us, you know, do engage with us on those social media platforms and make sure that you, as always said, make sure that you leave a comment. We want to hear from you and also do the right thing. Leave a like or that, you know, click on that love signs as well. So, and on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, the Villager, our e-newspaper, it's get published. So, and if you really, really looking for a latest business and economic news, make sure that you get yourself a free copy of the Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to this magic number 081-241-44, 081-241-44. Once you send your number, your name and your email there, surely you will be, you know, getting your copy, the copy of a free copy of the Villager on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So it is free. That's all what you need to do. You just need to subscribe. And well, and if you want to, either you, if you're a business person or you just want to advertise your event, so your event or function or workshop or conference, and sometimes you just want to have a real time exposure via live streaming and broadcastings, so we can be able to help you as well with that. Or what you need to do, contact our office at telephone number 083 to 888 400 083-288-400. So today, on this day in Africa, on our segment, on this day in Africa, there isn't much happened, really. There isn't much happening on the 24th of July. Nothing really much happened in Africa. Well, there are a few things, but not really much significant. So one thing that happened is the 24th of July, 1964, a bomb planted by school teacher Frederick John Harris exploded at Johannesburg's Park Station, now killing one and injured more than 20 people. Now, Harris, the reason why looking at this, we found this is significant. Harris was executed and remained the only white person executed for anti-apartheid bombing in South Africa. So that's why it's a very significant. So the only white persons, executed for anti-apartheid bombing in South Africa. So, and July the 24th is a Thursday. What is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? So much talking does not make you a leader. Much talking does not make you a leader. Simply speaking a lot or being loud, it doesn't establish authority or win genuine influence. So this proverbs urge us to evaluate deed over dialogue. You know, talking alone without follow through is ineffective. So true leadership manifests through decision, meaningful engagement, and tangible results. So in essence, leadership is not verbosity. Well, I learned that word from my daughter. So it's not verbosity. It is vision backed by visible effort. So the leadership is not verbosity. It is a vision backed by visible effort. And for today, and as you face the day today, as you wherever you find, we all leaders, wherever we find ourselves. The leaders are not just, you know, the president, prime minister, or political leaders. No, they are not the only leaders. Every one of us is a leader. Wherever you find yourself, you could be a parent, you are a leader. You could be a teacher, you are a leader. So wherever you find yourself, you are a leader. But a true leader then manifests through decision, meaningful engagement, and tangible a result. So hopefully you manifest that in your life and in what you do today. So much talking does not make you a leader. That's our thought for today. So when we come back, we get into what we prepared, what we have for you today. So what you can look forward to today in the program, on the show. So we will have around 8:30, we will have a guest on the show, and we will be talking about the billion-dollar study, the billion-dollar student village that is being proposed, that is in the plan of the government being proposed to be built in Windhoek. We're going to look at that, and we're going to look at it from the student perspective. And so we will have a guest around 8:30. Make sure that you are tuned in for that. And what we're going to look is also something that I wanted to talk about yesterday, but we couldn't get enough time. It's examining why Namibia ranked 6th on Nubio crime index, because it has implications, it has economic implications as well. So, and then if we have times, we're going to look at the reactions, you know, when the president launched the NDP6. So there has been reactions from the oppositions, and also from political analysts and the people that you meet in the street. I mean, the people that you interact with on a daily basis. And if we still have time, we can also look at the World Bank. The World Bank has just announced a new rule, and we wanted to look at that yesterday, but we also didn't get enough time. So maybe we can just squeeze it in. So when we come back, we'll look at all of that. Stay tuned.
Omutiha would take a kaguna, e matina omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, longishifa, ya, she became Moshiwana, e moyao, or tango got his amweni. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa, or jika. Saisanina, omaguro, nidanitoma, yue, yongishifa, yokupitramo, ikelefem, media house. Way 20 meha, uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki, we mopo, yo mo programma letu. Moambo, then get a selma, konara hita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, on the arch. Ikelefem, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
So very good morning to you. Welcome to Eagle FM. And specifically, welcome to Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Michael Sovelli. So Unpacking the Day. So we start at normally it's a daily show that starts at 7:30 until 9:30. So I'm with you until around 9:30. So thanks for joining us. So our time is about 49 minutes past the hour of 7. And as I said, they are the show. It's very packed. And please make sure that you tune in for our conversation that's going to come up at around 8:30 this morning. So now, you might have seen or heard about online platform called Nubio. Now, if you are not familiar with Nubio, this is like, think of it like a big online database where people from all over the world share information about their cities and countries. You know, things like the cost of living, how good the quality of life is. Yes, even how safe they feel. It is essentially a global survey of people's perceptions. So, and here is the headline that got my attention, and also maybe many of us, you know, and got many of us talking as well. So Nubio's latest crime index has actually ranked Namibia as the sixth country. I have to say apparently because six as the sixth country in Africa when it comes to perceived crime level. So our crime index stood at 63.6 percent with a safety index of 36.4 percent. Now that number that is a number that definitely make us, you know, make you pause and think, especially when you see countries like South Africa, Angola, DRC, Nigeria, and Cameroon just ahead of us. So now, on the flip side, also countries like Rwanda, Tunisia, were highlighted as being perceived as much safer countries. Now, So let's look at this. Let's unpack this because it is not just a number on paper. I think it has some implication. First of all, it touches on how we feel about our homes, about our streets, about our future. But it also has some implication. It has implication on our economy. It has implication on definitely on our economy in terms of how people actually perceive us. So how other people outside Namibia, even ourselves, perceive our country And that definitely have an influence on how people decide either to invest in the country or to come to Namibia, for example. So that is the contentions, you know. So first of all, it is really crucial to understand what this Nubio Index actually represents. So it's based on perception. So it's based on perception. As I said, think of it in this way. So if I ask you and 10 of your neighbors how safe you feel walking down your street at night, and then I compared your answers to another group in a different town, that's the kind of what Nubia does. So it gathers opinion and experiences shared by users from all over. So it is not official police statistic, all right, which are based on reported crime. So it's about how people feel things are. So, and this is this distinction is very important, okay? So that, you know, it means the ranking is not necessarily a precise count of every single crime committed, okay, but rather a reflection of the general sentiment and experience of people living here, or those who have visited and contributed their views. So I just wanted you to have that understanding, but it's still very significant. So now they themselves note that while it's a handy tool for comparing cities within one country, now trying to compare country can be tricky because of different ways of reporting crime, or even how available data is. In some country you have data, in other countries you might not. So now, what are the critical issues raised by these perceptions? Even if it's not the official truth. So what are the critical issues raised then by this perception? So now, let's talk about the challenges. So now, the impact of perception itself. So whether the number now match official police report or not, the fact that a significant number of people perceive Namibia to be the sixth highest in crime in Africa is a serious challenge. That's a serious challenge. And this perception has a real, it actually has a real world consequences. It has a real consequences. So for example, I said earlier on, for example, for tourism, imagine a tourist planning a trip to Africa, okay? And you are now a tourist. You are a tourist now planning a trip to Africa. And you do a quick online search. And boom, Namibia is listed on a crime index. It's higher on a crime index. So, well, it might make you think twice. Eh? So now you started to think twice. You know, it's a country that actually listed higher on crime index. So that might make you think twice. Even if our beautiful landscapes and friendly people are world class, you may start to think, well, the crime in this country is so higher. So this could hit our tourism sector. So, which is actually, as we know, that's very vital for jobs and for our economy. So particularly as we try to recover also from recent global challenges. So that's very, very important. So the other thing is also investment. Think of also investment. Similarly, big companies or investors looking to set up a shop, somewhere in Namibia, or thinking just set up a shop in Namibia. So they might see this and get, and then they start actually to get cold feet. So a perception of higher crime can really suggest instability. So if there's a lot of high crimes in that country, that means it's not stable. That country is not stable. So the person starts to think of higher operation risk and uncertainty, making them now start to look actually elsewhere. So this really affects our ability to create jobs and grow economy. So as I said, you know, if now the investor started to look in somewhere, just because of that perception, the perception of higher crime, so once we start actually having investors looking elsewhere and thinking that this is it's a higher risk for their operation, for their business, and they're becoming uncertain, so they look somewhere else. So what happened? So for that fact, then we that would affect our ability now to create jobs, because the investors are not coming to Namibia anymore. And grow economy. So that's why I said this has actually implications. Now, the other thing is also for our own well-being. So more importantly, how do we, the everyday Namibian, feel? How do we feel? Now, that feeling you get when you walk down, you know, when you walk down a street at night, and the worry about your phone being snatched, or your house getting broken into. So these are the experiences that feed into this perception. And that's why the people said, so this is what, that's why people actually contribute to this survey based. So if people feel unsafe in their own homes and communities, it impacts their quality of life, their mental health, their overall sense of belonging, and that can erode trust in a community and in their authorities. Okay.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right, welcome back. And if just joining us, we're actually looking at Namibia being ranked sixth in Africa as one of the unsafe country in Africa. So and I was looking at some, what does that actually how does that contribute to how people, let's say, for example, how does that contribute to the perception people would have, investors or visitors, people who want to visit Namibia as a tourist, and also the investor that now, if you are an investor somewhere in Europe or in America, in India, wherever, and this country actually is listed it has higher crime index. So what would be your reaction? Definitely you feel that, you know, my operation in that country won't be safe. You start to have some uncertainty, and also thinking maybe you need to take your business somewhere else where it's safe. So, and that, as I said, that would affect now our ability as a country to create jobs and also to grow our economy. And the other thing is about tourism, that now, if you are sitting somewhere and you're thinking, ooh, which country should I, and you are doing that, you know, your quick online search, looking for where you want to go for holiday, and you're thinking of beautiful landscape and friendly people in Namibia are really world-class. And then, boom, Namibia is listed higher on a crime index. So what happened? So definitely, you start to think, maybe I shouldn't go to that country. Would I be safe? And all that. So, and that definitely hit our tourism sector, which is vital for, as well as, and I said, this is the most important part, which is vital for jobs, and, for our economy. So, yeah. And the other thing is that it is, if, now, one also have to look at if now the official government statistics, let's say, for example, are paint a different, perhaps a rosier picture. So now you have to ask yourself, why are people now in the country? Why are people in Namibia contribute to Nubia with such responses? So definitely suggesting that there might be some kind of a gap in public trust regarding official figures. So, or perhaps the official figure don't fully capture the everyday realities that make people feel unsafe. So this point to a need for more transparent, accessible and relatable crime data that that the public can understand and trust. So now the other challenge then is actually the root causes of crime. So what are the root causes of crime? So the higher perception of crime often reflect underlying societal issues. So we are talking about unemployment, especially among our youth, and that's on everybody's, you know, tongue. Economic inequalities, talking about poverty, talking about lack of opportunities, talking about, you know, and sometimes even drug and alcohol abuse. So those are roots of crime that we're talking about. So these are the breeding, you know, these are the breeding grounds for despair and desperation. And I'm not justifying that. So I'm just, these are a breeding ground for despair for young people, for desperations, which can regrettably lead to criminal activity. So we can't just talk about crime without talking about what causes it. It's very important. And that's why we're talking about NDP-6 and the plan, you know, the country is putting forward to be able to address that. And we can see that how this contribute to bigger issues, you know, that leading to how actually perceive our country. So, but here is where we turn to this. Now, how do we turn this into an opportunity? So, yeah. So we gotta turn this into opportunity. So Nubia ranking, as we have it, whether perfect or not, should be a concern for us of all. I mean, for us all right? Government, communities, individuals, we all should be concerned about it. So it forces us to acknowledge that there is a strong perception of insecurity. So, and that perception need to be addressed. It need to be addressed. So it is a chance to critically examine what we are doing right and where we need to improve. So it is something that we nearly need to examine. So, and definitely tackling root causes, we need to tackle the root cause. This is the big one. So if we want to generally reduce crime and improve safety, we must tackle the underlying issues head on. So we must really do that. And this is the things that, this is what the launching of the NDP-6 is what about. This means job creation. When I'm said we need to tackling the root causes, it means we need to tackle job creation, investing sectors in sectors that create sustainable employment, especially for our young people. So when people have dignified work, they they have less reason to actually to resort to crime. So when they have everybody, when people have actually dignified work, they have less reason to want to do crime. So the other things, and these are the things that we also see in the plan. So education and skill development. So equipping our youth with skills needed for the modern economy. So the other time, was it day before yesterday? I think the day before yesterday. You know, Mandume was saying, you know, even in a vocational training, in a vocational schools, in our vocation centers, young people are not being taught with equipment, with a modern equipment. They're still taught with old that aren't relevant anymore in different sectors, in different, you know, fields. So equipping our youth, so with the skills needed for the modern economy. So we need to do that. And of course, implementing effectively, we need to reduce poverty. We'll never entirely eliminate poverty, I think, but at least reduce poverty, implement effective social safety nets and developmental programs, that lift people out of poverty. So, and hopefully, you know, program, this development plan, NDP6, hopefully, will try to address that. So, yeah. And the other opportunities then, I think that we have is strengthening law enforcement and justice. So our police force need resources. They really need resources. They need training, and support to be effective. And this includes visible policing, you know, quick responses times, you know, and thorough investigation. Sometimes some cases, murderers or, you know, criminals just go free, because of lack of that thorough investigation. So, yeah. So, and equally important is building public trust, and that's very important. And I said that in one point, that public trust is the commodity that's very important. So that building public trust in the police and this justice system. So when people believe that reporting a crime will lead to action, so they are more likely actually to come forward. So, but if they just report and nothing happens and all that, so that actually erode the trust of the public. So, yeah. And of course, maybe we look at this way. Let's also promote our strength. So while we address the challenges, we also need to remember and promote all the good things about Namibia. So we need to do a lot. Our peace, our stability, our open space, our unique cultures, you know, these are powerful assets. So it's a powerful asset that we need to tell the world, you know, and we need to tell our own story. We need to tell our own story, highlighting the initiatives and effort being made, you know, to make Namibia safer and more prosperous. Sometimes we need to sell ourselves. I remember this, Americans are good at this. You know, I used to work in a program, so it was part of USAID. So I was one of the coordinator in that programs. And we have my colleagues, I have my colleagues were somewhere Americans. So what happened is that we go maybe into supervision on certain projects. And, so when I'm giving this an example that we must actually, highlight the initiatives and effort being made, you know, to make Namibia, you know, safe, more and more prosperous. So I'm just showing the difference between American and Namibian. So when we go now for our field work, you know, the American report almost everything. Everything. Even if they have greeted somebody and asked, how are you? No, I'm doing fine. You know, that person is even recorded, and what did they say? And, you know, when we are going back to report, you look as if you haven't done anything. and the American colleague has, you know, I met so-and-so, there was, yeah, and you know, that was just, you just thought, well, this was just a casual, probably a casual greeting. And so they report everything, and it sounds like, wow, this person have done so much. So this is what I'm saying. We need to promote our strength as a country, our peace, our stability, our, you know, beautiful open space, and, you know, and so much unique cultures that we have. So we need to do that. So, and while Nubio report offers a snapshot, you know, that's a snapshot of how some people perceive our safety. It's not a final word. Okay. It's not a final word. It's actually an invitation for a deeper conversation, like as we're having it now, for us to look inwards. Let's look at ourselves and to ask ourselves, how can we together make Namibia not just feel safe, but actually be safer. Be safer for everyone. And that's actually a collective responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility. So let's keep talking about this. So what are your thoughts? Do you agree with the perception? What solution do you think are most important? Our telephone number, 08-888-091. 08-333-00. 08-333-66-091. What did I say at the beginning? So 08-333-66-091. I said a number earlier, but I can't even remember where. What did I say? Where did I get that number? 08-333-66-091. It's a number you can dial and just have your reaction on that item that we just looked at. Our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of 8. And remember, at 8, we have a guest that we're going to talk about, what we're going to talk to. So make sure that you stay tuned for that as well. So if you want to come through now, do that, man. Do that, my dear, and have your reaction. And just your perspective and your thought generally on what we have discussed so far.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, the eye. Our time is about 17 minutes past the hour of 8. So welcome. If you just joining us now, This is Unpacking. This is Unpacking the Day. It's a daily show that coming to you every Monday to Friday from 7:30 until the hour of 9:30. And today we talk about Namibia ranking 6 on the Nubio Crime Index. And if you have no idea what it is, that's actually an online database where people from all over the world share information about their cities and countries, things like the cost of living, how good the quality of life is. Yes, even a perception on how safe they feel in their own country. So, and because of what we say, how we feel about our country, that make us rank 6th. So that's not the most important things. But the thing is that what the implication of that is actually the main issues that we focus on. It's thinking, what are the challenges, you know, being ranked 6th in Africa? That has some implications on how people outside Namibia, and even for ourselves, we understand that, and people outside the country, how do they perceive us? And when they're looking, as I said, when you have actually tourists, when you have now people who want to, you know, to visit Namibia, thinking you are in Europe or anywhere in India or where, you know, and you want to visit, you want to go to Africa, and you're looking for a country that you can go to. So these are some of the things that people look at, okay? Their perception. Now they're looking at, okay, they're looking and then looking and boom. So first of all, they're looking at Namibia, you know, and Namibia has this beautiful landscape, it's a friendly people, it's a world-class country, you know, and then boom. But Namibia is listed higher on crime index. So what happened? So there would be a lot of people now, there could be about 30 or 40, you never know how many, who have changed their money just because of that perception. Do you understand? And this is our own perception. It's our own perception. It's also the perception of the people who have been in the country. So this is our own perception. It's not a perception of the MIF or World Bank or someone. No, this is our own perception of our own country, that our country is not safe. And because of that, we actually then, you know, rank 6th on the Nubio index. So it's us who contributed to that, saying that our country is not safe. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe we are being realistic. Probably this is the perception we have of our own country. There's nothing wrong with that. So, but it's just that it has implications, you know. As I said, it has economic implications because number of people decided, no, we're not going to that country. I'm not going to visit Namibia because of that. That hit our tourism sector. And we know how vital this sector is for job creation and for our economy, you know. So, yeah, that's one area. The other one is investors. Yeah, we can also think in terms of investors. I want to set up a company, you know, a cement company or whatever. Yeah? You have money and you want to invest somewhere in Africa. Yeah? So you look to set up something in a factory or something in a country. So you get cold feet. So the perception of a higher crime can suggest that country is actually not stable. And you're worried about your operations. My business will be at risk in that country. So, and you'll be, no, I'm not certain about it. You want to go where you're really certain that my money is safe in this country. So what happened? This investor goes somewhere else. So, and that now, if this continues, you know, it would actually affect our ability to pull the investor who would then create jobs and grow our economy. So So it has really, but I also said, well, but it also have opportunities. It also has some opportunities now to kind of like, it's when you are reminded, my friend, you know, you, hey, look at you, you didn't, there's something that you haven't done so well. You, look at how you dress. So what do you do? Okay, let me shift to this. Let me dress properly. If I don't look, you know, if I don't look, you know, the, how I should look. So those are some opportunities. What do you think? All right. So the other things I said, let's look at the root causes. But it, what the opportunities give us is that let's look at the cause. What is causing this? This perception within our, among our own people. So definitely when you have the perception of crime often reflect some underlying societal issue, issues that we have, that some societies, issues that the society is going through. And we know those issues, unemployment, you know, especially among the youth, you know, economically inequality. We're talking about poverty, we're talking about lack of opportunity. So that's all the things that is gone. So let's hear from the caller. Good morning. Welcome to Unpack the Day.
Oh, Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we are waiting for your guest. Maybe we can just talk a little bit about something that you have mentioned.
Yeah, we still have about 7 minutes.
Talk about how to turn those challenges into opportunities.
Yeah.
Because I know wherever there is a challenge, there's a problem, one has to always think about coming up with a solution.
Yeah, there's always a solution.
So there's always a solution.
Whether you like it or not, there's always a solution.
Sometimes they say, no, think about out of the box.
Outside the box, yeah.
Outside the box and all these things. It's really because you need to craft up something and see, how do I escape this kind of a problem? Even in terms of employment. Because I know crime, there are social sectors and economic sectors that really contribute to that.
Yeah.
Like the president was saying when he was launching these things about instabilities and things like that. But obviously, if we can collectively coordinate our efforts and even the little now that we have, and then we found those challenges, so we definitely have a solution.
Yeah.
So even if you use all those swaps, the use or the post ones and all these other things, and these are the ones that will tell us, oh, this is where we are not doing it, our weaknesses, our strengths here, and then we maximize on those things.
Yeah.
I think in terms of crime, we just need to really put ourselves together and be watchful. Because we are not, you know, the white colleagues, the way they do it, they watch neighbors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's so rampant. But ourselves, we look at the people committing crime and we are accomplished with that. We are in agreement.
Yeah.
So we are also committing a crime because we are not even confronting them,
mm-hmm,
or whatever the case might be, to find a solution and say, how do we now collaborate with the law enforcement agencies and things like that.
Yeah.
Agents. So thank you very much, Mike, and let's hear what the guest will say.
Yeah, so no, thanks for coming through, Uncle Bona.
Welcome.
All right. Yeah, that's very true. We always, there's always opportunities, you know. So even we don't like it, I always say this, you know, sometimes we know the answers, even for yourself in your own life. Sometimes you know the answers, but that's the answers. Even when you don't like it, sometimes you don't. We tend to go through things that when I like it, then that must be the answer. No, even when you don't like the answers, it is the answers. You know, yeah. So those are some of the things. So. Yeah, but there are opportunities as well, and we should make use of those ones, you know, should make use of that as well. So, but this is very, very, and even when you look at, think of the, I'm focusing on this because that's the topic more that we're looking at. Every day when you wake, every day you have, you know, crime committed, you know, in terms of, you know, really heinous crime. So we have people actually taking their own life on a daily basis. So that also give, as I said, this is a perception survey, you know, and we have to understand how, especially, and I said, especially we depend, that's, we depend on tourism, we depend on investors, foreign investor actually investing in our country. We need to be on our behave. So we need to be able to behave ourselves, to present a picture, so that we present a picture of a stable. Yes, we have for now, like we are stable. We are, you know, there's peace in this country. And one thing is that we shouldn't take it for granted as well. So anything can happen. And sometimes when you're used to something, so you may think, nothing could happen. Believe me, as the president said, certain things that you do may actually ignite something in people, and you never know what happened. So, especially when she was talking about to the public servants, you know, service deliverance, people can get tired, and once they get tired, they become violent, they're rioting, and all that. So, we've gotta be careful. That we make sure that we don't leave someone behind. You know, a rich man in a poor community will never eat his rich or her rich in peace. You understand? You will never eat, you know, your wealth in peace if you are in a poor environment, in a poor settings. So, yeah. They may want to share that with you in an illegal way. So, yeah. So that's something that we need to think about, and really, see how we can, tackle some of these issues to improve, because what this means is, and I'm going to call my guest quickly now. What this means is that, we shouldn't, there are certain effort that we do as a country, on a national level or whatever. But at the same time, we also do other things that actually we go back to two step back. We're not going forward, because as you try this, there's always something that actually takes you two step back. And you have to try harder again to be able to move a little bit forward. And every time, to step back. So there has to be comprehensive. It has to be collective. And that's why I always said, it's everybody. And today's thought of the day is that you are a leader wherever you are. You know. So stay tuned. Let's see if we can get our guest and have a conversation. Stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things.
Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, a very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. So university students in Namibia are facing or have been facing some tough times. Higher rental costs, overcrowded living space, financial stress that affecting their studies and in some cases their mental health. But there is also hope on the horizons with a big announcement like the big dollar student, I mean, big billion dollar student village in Windhoek that is in plans, and also the exciting news of free tertiary education starting in 2026. So this morning we are going to unpack all of this and more straight from the perspective of students and those fighting for their rights. So we have got a special guest with us, Ms. Dorothea Nangolo, President of the Namibia National Student Organization, NANSO. Good morning, Ms. Nangolo, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
All right. Just a little bit, your voice up a little bit, because it sounds a bit low, okay?
All right.
All right. Now, let me, before I get into some of those issues, this is just, how would I put it, some kind of personal how you think. How do you personally measure whether student voices are truly influencing national education decisions? So this is very important because, you know, rather than just being treated as afterthought, do you feel that, you know, your voices are truly influencing national education decisions?
I think definitely. Government over the past few months has shown that they are listening to the students.
Yeah.
And I say this because students have been calling for free tertiary education, and president has responded. A student village was also something we've been calling for ever since it was tabled in the government budget in 2022. It's now 2025 and there's no tangible results.
Yeah.
So definitely we see that government hears the students and they respond to the students.
Yeah. So now can, okay, there's, we'll get back to student village. Now, can you paint a picture, for our listener of how serious a student accommodation in Windhoek, especially in Windhoek, is, and what are the students really experiencing on a daily basis when it comes to accommodation?
In Windhoek, student accommodation is bogusly expensive. And I say this because the average fee of accommodation for our students is $3,500. And you realize that our institutions of higher learning, mainly UNAM, which is in academia,
yeah,
IUM, which is in Dorado, and NAS, which is in town, these are very high rent areas,
yeah,
very expensive areas, which means the average fee of rent is $3,500 for the students, and this is for sharing or shared accommodation. So unfortunately, our students are being exploited.
Yeah.
Where you have students who are paying $3,500, but they are four in a very small room. And it's a four-bedroom house. So it's four bedrooms. Each bedroom has four students in it, and all of them are sharing one bathroom.
Yeah.
And because the house is in proximity to the institution, our students are forced to stay in these places. So our students are not only facing high rental fees, I tell you now, but also sanitation is a major concern when it comes to student accommodation in this country. We have student accommodations that are not safe,
yeah,
in terms of health-wise for our students, where there's no cleaning program in place, professional cleaning program in place, but also this general safety is a concern. We have students, especially by NAST and Dorado, who are constantly getting robbed. Either we have break-ins in student accommodation places, or the walk from the student accommodation to the institution is unsafe and our students are getting robbed. So these are issues that our students are facing. But the biggest issue really is the cost of it, because of the fact that landlords are exploiting our students because our students have no choice. So you'll see that the houses around UNAM or the accommodations around UNAM are very expensive.
Yeah.
Because we know that students don't have a choice. They need accommodation.
Yeah. So now, how does this financial pressure affect students? Now beyond just their wallet. So are we seeing impact on their, let's say, for example, on their mental health or their ability to focus on their studies? Is there any other beyond their wallet? So are there any other impact that students actually are experiencing?
Yes, definitely. Mental health-wise, like I said, some of these environments are not safe for our students. So already a student sharing a room with three other students, there's already a chance that they're being affected mentally. Just the environment is not safe. It's not conducive. But beyond that, our students are really being exploited by these bogus landlords.
Yeah.
We've had so many cases where our students are evicted overnight by the landlords because, first of all, there was no proper contract that was entered into when the student moved in, because remember, students are desperate for accommodation.
Yeah.
So there's no proper contract or rental contract or agreement that exists when they move into these places. And if one exists, our students can't afford litigation. Litigation sometimes, in such a situation where a student is removed from their accommodation overnight, ordinarily, the legal action would be an urgent application. Right?
Yeah.
An urgent application to the High Court. That is extremely expensive. A student can't afford that.
Yeah.
Legal aid doesn't do urgent applications. Already in that aspect, our students are left out. So we have a lot of cases where our students are removed overnight by the landlords, cases where rent fees are increased overnight by the landlords, or rental terms are increased. So all these things affect not just their pockets, but their mental health. And there's situations where they become homeless for a few days or weeks where they're trying to find accommodation. This is where you have students living on campus.
Yeah. So, and as the president of NANSO yourself, what is your organization doing to advocate for better conditions for students? Are there any specific campaign or initiatives that you are leading?
Yes, NANSO has been pushing for the regulation of student rent. And when we say regulation of student rent, we say all areas that are offering accommodation, and they call themselves student accommodations, must be registered with some sort of institution.
Yeah.
And we say this because we need to have a record of these places so that we can protect our students when they need to take action against these areas.
Yeah.
There is some sort of regulation. There's some sort of body that has registered them. But more so, we call for regulation in terms of rental fees. Now, what I mean is there's no way a student is paying $3,500 when they are in a small room.
Yeah.
They're sharing with four other or three other students. There must be some sort of regulation as to the cost of the rent must match the area itself. It must match the standard of the place where students are staying. So we've been calling for regulation of student rent because we know that even if there's a student village that we're going to discuss very shortly, not all the student village will only accommodate 3,000 students. We have more than 80,000 students registered in Windhoek alone. So that 3,000 is just the tip of the 80,000 that are registered in Windhoek. The rest of the students still need to find a place to stay in Windhoek.
Yeah.
And they still continue to face those challenges.
Yeah. The NASFAF, the Namibia Student Financial Assistance Fund, I think plays a bigger role in supporting students. How effective has it been, especially when it comes to accommodations? And with the news that NASFAF will be reintegrated into the Ministry of Education by October this year, what change do you think we might see in terms of this?
Thank you. First of all, frankly speaking, NSFAS has been ineffective when it comes to assisting students with accommodation.
Yeah.
Because our students start the semester in latest early February. NSFAS only starts paying them tuition fees in May if you are lucky, but mainly June.
Mm.
So February, March, April, May, where are you staying? Obviously, you are staying somewhere. You need to be accommodated.
Yeah.
But the cost of NSFAS, the non-tuition fees, is 2,400. I mentioned earlier that the cost of, the average cost of rent for students at UNAM, IUM, and NAST, because it's high rental areas, is 3,500. 2,400 is not even close to that amount.
Mm.
And the average rent is 3,500. So the 2,400 does not scratch the surface. So obviously our students are not getting support. And we've been calling for NSFAS for very long now to say NSFAS must act as some sort of regulating body for student accommodation then.
Yeah.
The same way it pays directly towards your hostel. If you're in hostel, then it must pay directly towards these private student accommodation areas. They must register, be in the database, and allow NSFAS to pay directly towards them to protect our students. So then in that situation, there'll be a proper rental agreement to protect our students, but this has not been done. So we're hoping that now, when there's an intervention in the ministry, that the ministry will obviously look at these issues and come up with proper solutions that address student accommodation.
Yeah. So you have alluded already to the student village project planned for I don't know when that would be ready, a room for 3,000 students. So what do you think about it? You mentioned earlier on, but what I want to ask is, could it really turn things around for the housing crisis? Do you think that could it turn things around, or there's still more need to be done?
Yes, definitely it could turn things around for the students. 3,000 is still a good number, but it's revolving. 1 year a student is in, the next year the student has maybe a job, they leave, and another needy student comes in.
Yeah.
So definitely there's some sort of support. But with the existence of a student village, I think of it from an economic perspective.
Yeah.
When rent or landlords know that...
Can you just hold on a bit, Neb? We will have a commercial quickly, okay?
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
All right. So welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. So now you were just saying that you're looking at this. You're looking at the student village project from an economical point of view. So maybe you just finish your point or get into your point.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mm.
So I was saying that the student village will obviously address the rent crisis to a certain extent, because you look at it from an economic perspective.
Yeah.
Where if people know, or landlords know, that there's a free student accommodation that's offering free accommodation to students.
Yeah.
Then there's some sort of dropping scale in terms of the cost of the accommodation, because they know that, okay, students now have a choice.
Yeah.
And now it's a matter of convenience. If push comes to shove and it's too expensive, this student might be forced to apply for the student accommodation and they leave, you know. So I'm hoping that there's some sort of drop in the cost of rent for student accommodation. But equally so, if government has proven to want to build a student accommodation, then obviously they must be open to some sort of regulation or regulating student rent. But we're also not too overexcited. We're trying to balance our excitement. Because remember, the student accommodation was included in the 2022 national budget.
Yeah.
It's been close to 4 years now.
Yeah,
and we're just hearing of it again now, after 4 years. So we are hoping that this time around, there's actually tangible results and we see construction in the next few months.
Yeah. So you as a stakeholder in education, in terms of NANSO, so have you been part of any consultations or engagement regarding this?
The last engagement we've had regarding the student village was in 2023, I believe, or 2024, or with the ministry. And it was a confrontational engagement on our end to say how far is our student village. It was in the 2022 budget.
Yeah.
And we've not seen any tangible results, where the ministry has assured us that, look, the land has been procured by the common law area. This is how far it was, and they've assured us of the progress. So we're happy to see that government now is bringing it up again, and hopefully we'll see actual progress now.
Yeah. So now, let's go to, the president and Daidua, we all know now, recently announced that tertiary education will be free starting next year. So that's actually a huge news. Can you tell us what this means for students? And also talked about that, you know, they will cover the tuition fees, but, you know, accommodation will then still be on the student or the parents. So how do you see this? What are the students feeling? What is your perspective on that?
Obviously, we're very, very excited to hear that there's free tertiary education.
Yeah.
This is something that we've been dreaming for years now.
Yeah.
And our president has responded and ensured that every student who's dreaming to study or wants to study has access to study. So we are very happy as an organization and students in general that our president has heard our cries, but also that our government prioritizes education. But frankly speaking, we require the ministry to come up with a roadmap or a system that allows for some sort of non-tuition fee support.
Yeah.
Because there is no way education can be fully free if I can't afford to stay in Windhoek, I can't afford to take a taxi to school, even if the lecture hall is open for me without paying registration, without paying tuition fees. If I can't get to the lecture hall, then I don't think we can truly say education is free. So we have those students who really don't have anything. Already the person can't afford food.
Yeah.
How do we expect them to actively attend classes, to write examinations, when there's no non-tuition support? So we're hoping that NSF or the ministry is still able to support those students that are truly in need.
Yeah.
We have students from previously marginalized or from marginalized communities. I don't think we can expect them to equally participate in this free tertiary education without some sort of non-tuition support.
How has it been, especially those maybe not accommodated in on campus and things like that? So has that been on themselves? Or there has been help in some way?
There's not been any help. Like I said, NSFAF does not fully have a package for accommodation. So that 2,400 that comes in, we have our students who then live in areas in Katutura, for instance, where they pay a rent of at least 500, which then allows them to still have enough to move to campus and so forth.
Yeah.
Or there are arrangements with landlords where rent is cheaper, where they maybe pay 2,000. So there's an arrangement to say, when NSFAF pays, then I'll pay you your rent. But there's not been support, so our students have been struggling. But we are grateful for institutions like UNAM that have accommodation or hostel accommodation for both male and female, where it at least accommodates our students. It also has a monarch. NAST, unfortunately, is just opening up now, but most of the accommodation is for females. There's little accommodation available for males at NAST. IUM, I don't know where they got that bogus system, where they only accommodate the females. So the males are unfortunately left out at IUM. It still blows my mind until today how that's how they set up their hostel.
Yeah. So now, what are some of the other major challenges that that university students in Namibia really are facing right now, besides accommodation and tuitions? Is there any other major challenges maybe that that university students are facing?
Yes, students are facing major challenges of safety. Our students are targeted on a daily because there's no safe means of transportation, especially because students have to stay on campus until late, be it during examination season or when they have classes that go beyond 9:30, for instance. So our students are targeted already because of that. So there's no safe transportation for them. And also the areas of institutions are not safe. I know that IUM is the most dangerous area. That Dorado area is very dangerous for our students, especially the walk from the taxi rank to the main gate.
Yeah.
There are so many cases of students getting robbed. Almost every day a student is getting robbed there. And we don't understand why or how the university is not responding to set up some sort of proper security or patrol for our students. So there's obviously the issue of safety of our students, but there's also the issue of mental health. And access to mental health support.
Yeah.
UNAM alone, main campus has around 30,000 students, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And UNAM then only has one counselor. So main campus has one counselor.
Yeah.
And that counselor, they are sharing it with School of Medicine, and I think for myself, and unless they've changed it now and made it two, but even if they are two, it's not enough for So your students who urgently need to see their counselor, but there's a line because there's such a large number of students who need to access this mental health support. I'm not sure about the existence of one at IUM either.
Yeah.
So these are major concerns that exist, major challenges that exist for our students. But beyond that, we have institutions where lecturers continue to treat campuses and institutions like their playgrounds, where there's no proper accountability, where a lecturer can simply not show up for class, or they are not marking, or they are choosing who to give marks to, or the situations of sexual marks, but there's no proper accountability that exists.
So, and if those things, let's say, for example, some of the things that you mentioned are happening, why would student actually then take it to the proper authorities and get it investigated and all that, or they just put under the rug?
Students take these things to the authorities, and I think NAST has done a very decent job in terms of dealing with these perpetrators, especially in issues of sex or marks.
Yeah.
But other administrative issues like marking late, showing up for class, high failure rate of the module, unexplained, by the way. The institutions seem to show that they have camaraderie with their employees and not their students. So you'll see that there's protection of lecturers, especially when it comes to issues of academics, where every single year, 80% of the class is failing with lecturer's module. And there's no explanation. There seems to be some sort of systematic or deliberate protection of the lecturer because of the risk of, if we let go of this lecturer, maybe we won't afford the next, or we will get the next lecturer.
So now, another idea that has been floated is establishing satellite campuses closer to a student's hometown. Do you think that is a viable solution, and what would take to make that happen?
Yes, definitely. That is a very viable solution. And that has been, ever since our Congress last year, we've been calling for institutions to decentralize their services to reach the Namibian people wherever they are.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a need to put satellite campuses at certain towns or at certain regions to be able to allow people to access this. And I say this because it deals with issues of accommodation. because students who now have an Nana campus,
yeah,
they don't have to travel all the way to Windhoek. They can stay at home or at an aunt's place in a Nana, and they finish their 4 years without the cost of coming to Windhoek. But the issue is the courses that are being offered and the quality of these facilities. Because I tell you now, there is no way we can have a school of medicine in satellite campus because of the equipment and the specialties that are available. We also know we can have a law satellite campus because of the availability of legal services. The Law Society is here in Windhoek. The Supreme Court is here in Windhoek. All these things. So it becomes challenging for certain courses, but I believe that courses that don't have such issues must be taken to the people to be able to access.
Yeah. Now, looking ahead, what do you see as the ideal solution for student accommodation in Namibia? What would you like to see happen in the next maybe few years?
I think the ideal solution is regulation of student accommodation, where no place should offer accommodation to students unless this place is registered.
Yeah,
and the rent is highly regulated to say, we're coming to inspect your house. If it's a four-bedroom house, students can only share maximum two in a room, and all of them must pay 2,000 maximum or 1,500 maximum. If you do this, if you go beyond this, we're going to sanction you, basically.
Yeah.
So that, and on top of this sanction, there's a security officer stationed outside the premises, and all those things, honestly. I think that's the only way our students can be safe and they're getting value for their money.
Yeah. Now, if this is just as an imaginary thing, so if you could address, and there are those that are listening actually, so if you could address cabinet for two, let's say for example, for 2 minutes, so what three commitment would you ask them to put in writing before the next academic year?
Thank you very much. I think the first commitment is commitment towards ensuring that our institutions, all of them, are disability-friendly and accessible to those living with disabilities, not just in terms of infrastructure, but in terms of the courses.
Yeah, Ms. Dangolo, just before you go on, there's a quick there's a commission coming up, and then we start on that one. Yeah, just hold on.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
That's always get me, you know, the U in UNAM is you. So welcome. So now we were looking at, as I said, if we were addressing now the cabinet, what are the three commitments would you ask them actually to put in writing before the next academic year?
Yes, thank you very much for saying that. Cabinet must, or government must, ensure that institutions are, especially public institutions, are disability friendly, not just in terms of infrastructure, but people living with disabilities have special curriculum that allows them to still do certain careers.
Yeah.
And I say this because UNAM, for instance, is privileged to have a disability wing, but that disability wing is outdated and under-resourced. It's dusty. It looks very bad, honestly. I don't think NASP has one. So these are the things that I hope the government can address so that somebody who's visually impaired has an opportunity to still study law, because law is largely reading, it's largely writing, and it's largely hearing. So there's never really a situation in law where you're using your hands.
Yeah.
apart from typing, and you can type if you're visually impaired. You're able to type. So I don't understand why people who are visually impaired can't study law, or there's no special opportunity for them to study law. The second commitment really is that the student village is not going to be a pipeline dream for the next 4 years again, as it was since 2022.
Yeah.
But more so that there's some sort of regulation of student rent in addition to student accommodation, in addition to building a student village, that they actually deal with regulating student rent.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, there must be a commitment on government side that education funding must not be at the discretion of government of the day, but education must have a sustainable means of funding.
Yeah.
Because yes, free tertiary education has come, but I tell you now, if government in the next 10 years does not prioritize education, or there's a new government of the day, God forbid, that does not prioritize education, it means that we're back to square one.
Yeah.
Where students are back to paying for their own education. So we are hoping that government or cabinet pushes for some sort of education levy that's included in the Higher Education Act, so that it's a legislative responsibility of government and it's not merely an announcement by government of the day, because it leaves us at risk of a government in the next 10 or 15 years which will then decide education is not a priority. We're going to announce otherwise and do away with the policy of free tertiary education.
Yeah.
And we're bringing it back to the roots. So there must be some sort of legislative route that calls for free tertiary education.
Yeah. And what message do you have for, let's say, for students who are really feeling overwhelmed by some of these challenges right now? So is there hope on horizon? And now there is hope on the horizon. And what can they do to stay motivated and focus on their goals?
I think with the hope that's on the horizon is when government gives us special education and gives us free accommodation, we must not become ungrateful.
Yeah.
And take it for granted. This government is investing in our education not for us to play with it or to play and waste resources of the government, but to actually study and be able to graduate within the 4 years that our institutions are giving us. If your course is 6 years, there's an expectation from government that you focus on your school 100% so that you can finish your degree in those years.
Yeah.
I don't think government is investing in our education so much, or the president is investing in our education so much, just for us to play and have fun. But there's an expectation that they're dealing with the challenges that we are experiencing, so that there's nothing that distracts us from focusing on our academics.
Yeah.
So with every right or every privilege comes major responsibilities. So there's a responsibility for not just you to pass as a student, but to go and contribute to the economy of this country, to be a taxpayer that pays for the accommodation of another student. So there's an expectation of excellence, and I hope that we can uphold that as students.
Okay. So any last word from yourself that you would like to, you know, to communicate to our listeners and also to your fellow student and to stakeholders in education in general?
I think just the students, remember they're starting their second semester now, or have started it rather.
Yeah.
I think just wish them the very best with their final semester of the year. And to remember that there's an expectation of excellence, like I said, that we're not fighting, or government is not fighting for free tertiary education for us to have fun at institutions, but for us to go there and focus and study. So I wish them the absolute best, to study smart and very hard as well, but more so, remember where they come from. It's something that we always say at the beginning of the year, remember where you come from. But in the middle of the year, we forget that where I come from, I come from a village that does not have water. And perhaps I'm the very first person to access this highest level of education. And there's a responsibility on me to go back and develop where I come from. So there's always that reminder to remember to go back home, to remember to go back to your communities, because when we fight for education or in Nyanza, we fight for education not because we don't have any other thing to fight for.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could be fighting for green hydrogen. We could be fighting for access to land. We could be fighting for water supply. But we are fighting for education because we've seen how much the education of one individual has transformed communities, or community at least.
Mm-hmm.
One person is educated and the community is transformed, be it through other people being inspired from that community to study to that level, or through this person going back and developing that community. So hence why we always say our students will never forget their communities.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Ms. Nangolo, for shedding some light on what students are facing and what is in the process to help. So it is a big issue, but it's great to hear about the steps being taken and what is still need to be done. So thank you for joining us on Unpacking the Day and also for making time to speak to our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me this morning.
All right. Have a nice day.
Likewise.
Yeah, thank you. All right. That's Dorothea. That's Miss Dorothea Nangolo. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right. So welcome back. It looks like there's a dry air in the studio. My throat has always got dry. I don't know why. So, well, welcome back. And yeah, that was our guest, Ms. Dorothea Nangolo, the president of the Namibia National Student Organization, NANSO. Giving us, we wanted to know, as before the academic, before the second semester or third semester, second semester begins, just to give us, because there is this, this plan of a student village that's going to cost billion of dollars. Yeah, so to address actually the issue of accommodation in Namibia, for students in Namibia, university student in Namibia. So we wanted to hear from the host mouth. So what are the challenges students are actually experiencing? And how do they see new development into education? And definitely, hopefully, you got to realize some of the really challenges that students are going through, and the changes maybe the government is trying to do to mitigate some of those challenges. So, well, what is your reaction if you are listening? What is your take on our discussions? So our telephone number, 083-366-091, 083-366-091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction or your take of our discussion and education in general, where we are at this point in time.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Great news.
IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend.
All right. Our time is 12 minutes. 12 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day live on Eagle FM. So welcome, and we go up to 9:30. And if you were listening and you want to be part of the programs and you want to contribute, our telephone number is 0888-88-333-66091. What is wrong with me today? So 0888-88-666091. That's the number you can dial to speak to moi. All right. So and we just looked at the issue of the plan that is on the horizons of establishing the student village for tertiary institutions as students. And you have had the challenges, enormous challenges that students are going through, especially those coming from a marginalized and disadvantaged, families and communities. But the government is trying, it's doing its very best, but is that enough? So that's the question. So, all right. So our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of 9. Yo, now, while I'm waiting for you, if you have to come through, let me also just maybe rounding off of with some of the reaction. We're talking about reaction with some of the reactions of different people, opposition parties, and also political analysts on the NDP 6, on the launch of NDP 6. So, yeah, and so we will definitely do that after this.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia provides an opportunity for all eligible voters who did not register in the previous voter registration process. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This will allow all eligible Namibian citizens to participate in the 2025 Regional Council and Local Authority elections. If you are an 18 years or older Namibian citizen without a valid voter's card, and if you are able to identify yourself, then don't miss this opportunity to register as a voter. Democracy thrives through participation. Get involved, step up, and register to vote.
Well, democracy thrives through participation, and you can only participate it if you are registered. It's your voice. Make sure that you are. All right. After the President Nandi Ndaitwa launched the new National Development Plan, that's our big roadmap for the next 5 years. So there has been reactions from the opposition parties, political analysts, and individuals, people that you interact with on a day-to-day basis. So, well, some of these people are already shaking their head. We have those who are already shaking their head. They are saying this is just more of the same. So this is just more of the same and more political hot air, as some people refer to, and more promises we have heard before. So Let's get the caller who's coming through. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Fine, fine. It's a long time, eh?
Yeah, it has been a while. I'm kind of worrying. Where have some people run away to?
Yes, these frequencies are not working, and these apps also.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, this Tamba is this side, and you see... Yeah.
We understand, you know, we understand. Yeah. So,
and the Tamba say no.
The good days will come, don't worry.
Yeah, no, it will come.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to touch on this free tertiary education.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, okay, it's fine, but sometimes the lawmaker or the press is Her Excellency.
Mm.
You see, I agree with her, but somehow, I am not that happy with that, you see, because sometimes we must look at the affected community.
Yeah.
If we want to help, then we must be bold and straight.
Mm.
She supposed, I think it could have been better, instead of generalizing it to say tertiary education will be free.
Yeah.
To every Namibian. You see, they're supposed to say only those attending in public schools.
Mm.
At least then you can also elbow or put, because now remember that how these private schools.
Yeah, but you are not you are not supporting the private school. You are supporting the student, so the money should follow the student rather than the institution.
I understand that. I understand.
Mm.
But you see, attending school at a private school, paying maybe 30,000 per year or 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
You see, just from grade. You see now that parent automatically can afford. You see, if you pay even grade one, they are paying per month, maybe 3,000 per month. You see?
Okay, I get your point. You make sense to say, let's say, for example, both of us are studying journalism or law.
Yeah.
So you are in UNAM. In UNAM, you are paying, the government, say, for example, paying for the student, and the student actually is paying, and the government is paying about 10,000. And then you are in a private institution where you're paying actually 20,000.
Or
40,000. Then I get the point also. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. What she could have done to say that only those from public schools or government schools, then at least we know exactly that, okay, we are there for the poor or people who could not afford, who cannot afford. Now, doing that to say for everyone, I swear you will see. Look at this St. Boniface or whatever, St. Paul, those private schools.
Yeah.
You see? Then it means that to them, the requirement, remember that the entry level at UNAM, you see, they will dominate because there is no way our people now, maybe somewhere in Ohangwen and so, will be really getting chance to be where they wanted to be. Because it will be dominated already by those well-off children from well-off families. I'm telling you straight.
Exactly. That's also one point you have raised, Mr. Angolo. Points you have. He said it's not a free education if I got admitted and I don't have money actually to travel to attend the classes.
Yeah.
So if I don't have money actually to eat, you know, if I don't have money, you see, it's not a free education if there's still other challenges that actually preventing me from be able to attend that free education.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, let us say, starting from primary school, there is nothing like free education.
Yeah.
There is nothing like that. Seriously. If I go and buy books, what free education are we talking about?
Mm.
You see? Yeah, you stationaries. If I buy stationaries, what free education are you talking about? Free education means that everything should be free.
Mm.
At least they could say, okay, there is a student village or a hostel like Ramatex or wherever. Wherever, then there are buses which can run and you don't pay anything from where you are staying up to from the hostel to the classes and so forth. You see? Yeah, then that is free education, at least. You see, accommodation is free, transport is free, everything is free. Now, but whatever free education she meant, I am telling you it will disadvantage our children.
Mm.
Unless those, because those they will just say it's fine, I will only cater for accommodation and transport. You see, everything will be settled by the government.
Yeah.
Now, our children now here, somehow, it will be difficult for them.
Yeah.
She's supposed at least to say, you see, that money which is supposed, they wanted to give to everyone, at least those rich people's kids who could have benefited, that one they could have catered for someone, for these children of ours.
But the difficult part is that The criteria that you're going to use and the process that you're going to use to be able now to say, no, you are well enough to be able to, for your parents or you're rich enough now to actually take care of that yourself. So it's actually tricky in a way. But there must be also, you are also right to say there must be some kind of a criteria also that looking at more of the disadvantaged group, because definitely the well-to-do, they will still dominate because they will be able to pay their accommodation. They will be able to, you know, they are maybe at the good schools at the moment and they pass with good marks. They will be the one who considered first. So it's actually nothing changes. You understand?
Yes. Look, like this marginalized community.
Yeah.
They are criteria to them. You see, to say that, okay, they have some documentation, they are supporting documentation when they apply for employment. You see?
Yeah.
They will look that this person is from this side, at least let us accommodate this person.
Yeah.
Now, here you will understand if a person is from St. Boniface or St. Paul or whatever. You know exactly that a person like my child cannot afford to take my child there. Not at all.
Mm.
If the child is from that school, a certain school, you know exactly that, no, this one cannot. He's from advantaged family or rich family. Already it will just show. Unless, I don't know how we'll just, maybe, but if, let me say, an MD's child, managing director or CEO, will never attend school at Runtu Secondary School. Not at all.
Are you sure they have children? They have children.
No. I'm telling you, okay, if they come, maybe one out of 100.
Do you know that some of those, they have about 10, 11, 12 children?
Maybe. That one, okay, is now from outside marriage, you see. It's just the father, but the mother, it's not. Maybe. But I will understand.
My friend, I, to tell you the truth, those are some of the people who don't actually pay who are not actually paying, you know, school fees and things for children. Those are some of the people that you think.
Yeah, but I understand. But what I mean is, from let me say, a kid from a rich family.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so, unless something somewhere.
But the thing is this, that's still debatable in terms, okay, they could be rich but not supporting. Do you understand? Let's say, for example, you know, you have, this is just an example. I'm not saying that's the case. We just give an example. So this is a child of the prime minister and from someone else. And, you know, I'm Mike Ngurare or something like that. And who's your father? Oh, your father is Ngurare. So your father is rich. Sure. But I am actually with my mother. Who it doesn't work, who my father probably doesn't support. So now, because you tie me to my father who doesn't support me, so you deny me education.
What I mean, that's why I said we should look at where did this person attended school? You see?
Yeah.
If your father is taking care of you, definitely will send you to St. Boniface. You see? But if we find out, okay, even your surname is Ngurare, or sorry to mention now, your surname is Don or Hausiku or whatever, we know that your father is the MD at Namcor or whatever.
Yeah.
But we know that you are from, then the picture is already, there is a reflection to say that, it's just the son of that certain person, but this son is really not enjoying the father's wealth. You see?
Yeah.
That's why he's at Max Makushe, from Max Makushe Secondary School. You see, then at least for him to be accommodated. Now, if you mix all the Dons, because their father is Don, the prime minister, now you take any Don, either from Elsin and Max Makushe or Kanjegedi, whatever you call it, you put them. The others already enjoy it most. You see?
Yeah,
this one, maybe they might also block this one. No, don't take all the Dons, take only two. Leave one. You see now? Because I will still be oppressed. If what I mean is either the minister, then maybe the minister will start sending their kids to government schools. You see? You know, the rich people, then the schools will upgrade because they will also talk the same language with us.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah, but if we say that, no, all of them, I'm telling you, will be oppressed and it is a dead end to us. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
What we have, this equality should also be looked at. You see, equality starting from this old age, equality starting from grants, equality starting from education. It's not good at all. Let us look at people. We can identify them even. You see? Mm. Yeah, what I mean is that she must zoom in and also maybe revert back and say, no, okay, I met or something, let us change somewhere somehow.
Yeah.
But it will be argued and say that all children have equal right to access to whatever, equal right and so forth. That equal right also seriously is killing others.
Yeah,
yeah, it is simultaneously medicine and poison, whatever comes first.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a task force that that's given the responsibility to come up with a more way looking at some of these challenges and see how they can address this. So let's hope that, you know, they also listening and take in consideration some of the things that are said here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's true. But seriously, Namibia, you see, even it comes to this national minimum wage, to this free education, it's just something, some people are just suffering to their core even.
Mm.
You see? Others are enjoying. Imagine, I am, let me say, I'm a security guard. Let me say, this is a security, maybe a cashier at a mini market, you
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
Where there may be 20 customers a day and so. The other one is at Pick and Pay, standing from 7 to 4.
Yeah.
You see? Serving important customers, including minister, we are getting the same, which is not. Because Pick and Pay, for them to pay that person is easy. But me also, my boss here is suffering while I'm enjoying. You see, it's vice versa, somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
You see, we must learn to categorize things, to
yeah.
identify that, okay, if it's a mini market, way, okay, it's $12 or $10 per hour. If it is somewhere, it's maybe a supermarket, a wholesale is this. Because people are just dying, because you cannot treat us equal. But we have different responsibilities.
Yeah, no, it's a whole question of enforcing the policies. The policies are there. The policies
yeah.
are there. And the other thing is also, it's the open and capitalist economy that we're living in, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a right. If I say this is how it goes, you know, and it's my own property or whatever, so there's nothing that you can do about it.
Yeah.
So there are challenges and I can tell you in the way it is, it's still, and the whole question of inequality, web distribution and all that, it will never, within what we are as a country and the process and policies that we follow, it will be very difficult to bridge that gap.
It's easy, but it's just, leaders are just deliberate. I don't know. I'm telling you straight.
You have to annoy certain people, you understand?
Yeah.
And certain institutions in the world, yeah, for you to be able to do that. And if you're not willing to do that, it's very difficult to actually bridge that gap.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, you see, it is easy, because to do that is very easy. But the thing to them, you see, just after independence, no, equal right, everyone, no, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
Because that time it was white, black, and colored, you see.
Yeah.
Now, there is also a reflection of poor and rich, you see.
Yeah.
You can also, that is not apartheid or discrimination, not at all.
Yeah.
If you say that, no, my friend, you have something you have eaten, let this one eat. Is that discrimination? Not at all.
Mm.
You see? Or you are staying in the house. Let me give this one also just a shelter to sleep. Is that discrimination? It's equal treatment, because you have already. That is the apartheid, we understand. But when you say equal right, then, and you put everything together in one bucket, then you are not okay. You can identify and say, no, this is not apartheid. If a black person and a white person have the same quality, you see, or the same education, let them be considered.
Mm.
You see? But when it comes to poor, I'm not saying only black, even a white person or a sun people or whatever, if he's poor or she's poor, let them also be treated as poor people versus rich people.
Do you know that we are exactly following the same way apartheid have done, you know, in terms of wealth distributions.
Yeah.
So we focus on major cities, you know, or in terms of development and things like that, and just a small amount to rural, you know, rural. So we follow exactly the same apartheid system. It hasn't changed. Yeah.
That's why I'm saying what they thought. You see, look, sometimes sit with them around the table, the leaders, the journalists. Just put something there and say, okay, how do you define apartheid? How do you define discrimination?
Mm.
How do you define inequality? You see, how do you define equity and equality? They will confuse themselves. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because to them what they think is when say everyone have the right, you see, to this, then they think you just take everything they know. But there is also something. How do they get it to say that, okay, these are marginalized? You see, you can identify. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are marginalized. So if we go to some people over chamber, not all of them. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some have upgraded now. They are better than others, than us, even. Now, what you have to do is just to see the gap. You can see that, okay? If you construct a school at Havana, a school in Havana, you see? A secondary school. You know exactly that kids attending there are poor kids, from poor background.
Mm-hmm.
What's so difficult, you say that, okay, these from there, let us also just take them. Because you know, when you say, school attended Havana Secondary School,
mm-hmm.
school attended St. Paul. You see, you know already that, no, these people are different. You see? You cannot say, okay, all of you are fine because you are children, you are students, I must treat you equal. No. You see? It's not your fault, but that is how God did it also. That's why there is heaven and hell. You see? Even in heaven, even God have made it differentiate the two. God knows who should go to hell, who belongs to hell and heaven. Now you here, you say, no, all of you belongs in heaven or what? That God say no. You see? Okay, shout.
Manuel, thanks, man. Thanks for coming
through. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Hey. All right. All right. So our time is 33 minutes past the hour of 9, and they actually bring us to the end of Unpacking the Day this morning. So thanks for those who come through and contributed on the show. And and thanks for Miss Nangolo for making time to talk to us. She really revealed or shed light on some of the challenges that students actually are going through. And it's good to understand that as we're moving forward as a country. Yeah, so, yeah, let me leave you in good hands of a comedian that's coming up. It's a comedy show, Mind the Gap, with Helmut. So for me, Mike Koshavelli, I wish you a very, very good day. Until we see each other tomorrow again, at the same time, here on Eagle FM. Thank you for now, and goodbye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano owa miyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.